Area Voices tells the arts, culture, and history stories of northern Minnesota. And sometimes I think Bemidji is known for its sculpture walk as much as it is for its pollen babe. And this year, the sculpture walk is celebrating 20 years of existence. 20 years of making Bemidji a more interesting place to call home and a more fascinating place to visit. This Saturday, some really special things will be happening in downtown Bemidji to celebrate this anniversary. Here to talk more about all of it are a couple of folks from Popaski, who I think could safely be called the mother and father of the sculpture walk in Bemidji, Minnesota.
Aww.
Kate and Al Bellevo, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting us.
Yes. So 20 years of organizing, finding sculptors, getting the pieces to Bemidji and onto the streets. Thank you. And when did it all dawn on you that this is something that you should do?
Want to talk about that, Al?
Well, we were out in Grand Junction, Colorado, a pretty little town in Colorado, and it was one of these amazing places where there was a vibrancy very much like Bemidji, a vibrancy of art, of spoken word, of theater and music, and it was just this gorgeous little town, and there were these sculptures on the corner, and we thought, this is really cool to have an outdoor gallery like this where artists are allowed to display the things that they think about and work on, and you can't avoid it. You can avoid going into a gallery. You can't avoid the sculpture walk. So it's art on display. Everybody has an opinion of one sort or another about it. And it started to happen. We brought that back to Bemidji, and it's been just an amazing project, and it continues to grow and evolve.
What all had to happen to kind of make it happen?
Well, you can't do anything by yourself, so we might have had a creative spark, but you have to have a lot of underpinnings and foundations and support from your community. So we tried to think about where could we have a repository to base the sculpture walk, and I can't remember where Grand Junctions was based, but we went to, at that time, the Bemidji Art Center, and now it's the Watermark Art Center. And we, at that time, Susie Ray was the director.
Susie wasn't the director yet.
Was it Lori?
Diane Feld was
That's
the director
right.
at
That's
that
right.
time. And actually, Susie Ray was running the program out in Grand Junction, Colorado. And her mother and dad live here, the Busbys and Dr. Busby.
So that was a neat kind of connection. Mm-hmm. That Susie Ray from Grand Junction running out there came to Minnesota. So you are very correct. Diane Feldman was the director at that time. But Susie, we would be wrong not to credit her with a lot of the enthusiasm of those initial years. We brought together the police department because we knew this was going to be a concern about vandalism. We brought together folks like John Philpa from the state park, the aesthetics and the beauty and walking tours. just brought a little cadre of people together. And then it was housed for many years under the Bemidji Arts Center. When it started to shift towards the Watermark, Lori, the director at the Watermark, said, you know, we're willing to kind of pass on that. And so we chose to approach the city to see if they would be supporters. So that's kind of the original history of it. It takes a lot of people, and we have a nice, strong working board. It's not just a board that makes decisions. We all pitch in and do a lot of the work. Maybe a little bit later I could talk about some folks, if they have some talents and skills, we'd love to have them join us with committee work. So,
Well, Al, you create public art that is oftentimes on sculpture walks. What do you love about having your work out in the public space?
I just as I was driving down here this morning, I was out in front of Raphael's. There's a sculpture, and there was a father and his two children, and they were touching it and standing back and looking at it and trying to understand what it was, trying to understand what the artist was trying to portray in three dimensions, their thoughts. And I build these last years, I've been building sculptures that you can actually go into, or there's one right down the block you can sit inside of, and on a moonlit night, it's like being inside of this pod that's just wonderful. It makes you feel good. It makes me feel good. And I love to watch people interacting with the art, so because art should not be sterile and untouchable, at least my art, and so to get that full tactile experience is what I'm looking for.
Yeah, for those of us who live here, and we'll get to the events this weekend. the sculptures just kind of magically happen. Okay, we just
the mushrooms pop up,
and we're just like, yay, they're here. That's
about the same time as the morel mushrooms. I don't think I don't know if that was by design, but the morel mushrooms start popping in the forest, and then the sculptures start popping on the streets of Bemidji.
And the sculptures are like mushrooms in that it's a fruiting body of a mycelium network, and this network is all pervading within our community and our region, actually, of all the other arts that are not standing on the corner. You know, occasionally a musician or two might be on the corner, but and so the theater, the writers, the dancers, and so these are just the little mushrooms. There's this whole network and layer that is actually going on that is not seen and is not out in public, but yet enhances our lives.
Well, and this might be a key aspect, but I noticed the last 2 years that the sculptures are being installed, it's been raining all the time. So.
Yes, it's kind of a joke amongst the installation crew. Is like, it's got to be pouring and cold and miserable on that weekend. But.
There was one installation day many years ago where Mitch Blessing and myself and Susie Ray and her husband, we were the installation team, and we installed a dozen sculptures or so in the pouring rain. And so, yeah, it's been a joke ever and since then. It isn't raining. It can't be time to install sculptures.
And that's no small feat. Talk just a minute on what's involved with putting – I mean, some of these are large and massive, and they're mounted on large stones. And so talk about the base and your crew that has to help you put these together and – you know, just physically lifting.
Initially, we tried to identify different corners in town, places where sculptures would go. Marty Busby was instrumental in bringing us these large boulders that we use for a lot of our pedestals.
Okay, that's where they came, yeah.
Yeah, and she had a company drop off boulders, and then I would figure out how to get steel plates on there. If we have plates on there, then we can mount sculptures to that. But some are sidewalk mounted, and really, you know, we try to anticipate the sculptures. You know, you're looking at small little, you know, 3x4 pictures a lot of times of that the sculptors have sent you. And we try to anticipate ahead of time what's the process going to be to install these. But we don't really know. Once it comes, we look at it and we go, oh, this is totally different. So, and that I love. I love the making these decisions on the fly and problem solving. And that's really the fun. That's the funnest time in the sculpture walk is when we try to figure out how to get all of these pieces out in the public.
I'm thinking right now about the pig that was on the, we had a pig on the side of a building and a giant spider.
It's still there. Yes, it's an encore piece. The pig is no longer there. Wasn't it kind of a Razorback, kind of Arkansas
boar?
Yeah. Uh-huh, same artist.
So how did you decide Pigzilla on that?
Is what that
because
was
it was so dangerous.
It was, I did have it on the
side. Yeah, it was so pretty.
That was actually Katie's idea. She said, we'll put it on a wall if people can't touch it.
I just put it high because if people interact, they're going to hurt themselves, and it's always an issue, right?
So you consider that.
Yes.
You don't want someone to
see
it.
And whose business was that at that time?
Shannon.
Shannon's business. And I just walked in one day and I was like, hey, Shannon, do you own this building? She says, yeah. I said, would you mind if I put a pig on your wall out there? She said, no, that'd be great.
I can see that we're talking about Shannon Lucas Westrum. She's been featured on Area Voices with her baskets.
Well, the spider, Christy Tellmiller is a friend, of course, and she, like myself, has leanings towards arachnophobia. She's, I love all the sculptures, but I really don't love that spider. But we have a living sculptor that's going to come alive this weekend, and her name is Louise Bourgeois, and she's going to be portrayed by Dr. Diane Pittman. And that woman is incredibly famous, lived into her 90s for the very famous spiders that folks who have traveled to Europe know are in London and other places.
Oh.
You've seen those huge spiders. Mm-hmm. So we're going to place Louise right below that spider. So it's a great backdrop.
Oh, that's perfect. So let's talk about this weekend because there are some really special things, including living sculptures. Take us through what's going
to
happen.
Right. Well, a grant was submitted by Marsha B. Marthaler to the Region 2 Arts Council. And we successfully received that, and that's going to allow us to have this. So, of course, we thank our voters of Minnesota. We're going to have strolling musicians. One of them is Barb Haug, and another gentleman who I kind of vaguely know, Reed Hendershot, who also does Celtic-style music. They're going to be strolling the streets playing music.
Along with Steve Young and Richard Hook, I'll add. There'll be four of them.
Oh, so. Wonderful. Great. Yep. I didn't even know they were going to be joining them. That's great. We won't put them on amps because we've got so much going on as far as the sculptors need to be heard. They'll all have their own microphones. So if a crowd gathers, they won't get lost with the noise. You'll be able to hear them on mic. We have 9 sculptures or sculptors, and they are placed literally within that compact area between 3rd and 4th Street on Beltrami Avenue. The main focus, it's kind of a combination of main focus here, but we really want people to see the arts in process. So, for instance, Al's kind of known for taking lots of found objects, and found objects is another way of saying junk.
Post-consumer products.
There you go. Also known as junk. So he has free range at the dump to pick up metal stuff. He makes sure it's safe so people can handle it. He sets up a screen so people can watch the welding process without hurting their eyes. He's literally done this with kids many, many times. He's got welding helmets for kindergarten to adult and gloves and protective gear. And the whole premise is your creativity is full blast saying, let's make a community sculpture, and everyone adds their portions. And he says, kids are the best. And I've always said this because they don't have inhibitions. So a little one will say, this could be the eye, this could be the nose. And then the adults come dragging along later because they have built up inhibitions. Yeah. But so that sculpture is going to happen. A gentleman named Alan Milligan, who displayed on the sculpture walk some little bronzes on the corner by Coyote Radio, he's going to join us for a, we think, a bronze pour. And so people that don't know about the casting processes and how that happens, he'll be doing that right on the street.
This is an ancient Irish process.
Ancient process, yeah.
So it's very primitive.
And then one of our soon-to-be new board members, Molly Weiss, who teaches now art at the Bemidji Middle School, she's getting a lot of awards for her wood carving. So she'll be out there with her chainsaw, starting with a chunk of wood and turning it into a sculpture. She had a couple pieces on the sculpture walk. She had the wolves over there on the corner by Tuto, and then she's got a piece up by the county courthouse people might recognize.
Yes, that girl feeding the...
Yeah.
Is she feeding a wolf?
Yeah,
a fox.
Last child in the woods. So Molly's... Those three folks will be demoing, and then at designated times, and we'll hand a program to people when they come, the 9... sculptors will come alive and tell their story. So a classic one, of course, is The Thinker. So Mark Morrissey jumped in there about 2 weeks ago and is going to be covered face to toe. He's going to have boxer shorts on, don't worry, folks, but he's going to be the thinker.
Speaking of uninhibited children, Morrissey.
That'd be Mark Morrissey, yeah. And like I mentioned, Louise Bourgeois, Peter Pan is going to come alive because he's a famous sculptor in Kensington Gardens, paid by a young gentleman named Finn. We have a Native American black artist named Edmonia Lewis. She went to Europe because in this country it was pre-Civil War and she couldn't get the support she needed. So she headed to Italy and became a very, very respected artist. We have a gal named Faith McIntyre who's going to play one of her pieces called Hagar. Paul Bunyan and Babe will be there because they're very famous folk art in this community. So they'll have Paul come alive, but Paul's going to ask someone to step into the Babe outfit from the audience. So be a part of it by putting the Babe outfit on. Nefertiti from Egypt. So anyways, lots and lots of great sculptures that are going to come alive. Kids are going to have a little passport and get a stamp on it and collect a little treat at the end because we want the kids to be learning about the sculptures.
So this is all downtown. Talk for a minute. How has the city been to work with in terms of this?
You know, they have a process when you do a block party. So they basically give you all that big packet that you got to go ahead and close off the street.
So the streets will be closed off. So it'll really be just kind of a
open kind of
very
mall.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fun. And what time does it start? It
starts at 4 and it goes till 8. The Playhouse has their show, but we literally have one of our doctors on our board of directors who's going to meet anyone who needs assistance to get into 7:30 show. He'll help them get that half block over. So we worked with the Playhouse too to not put a dent into what they're trying to do with their production that evening. So
excellent.
Free popcorn, kettle corn, and lemonade for the first 200 participants.
Wow, that's Kate Bellevaux. She's here with her husband, Al, and they do great things in our town.
Thank you.
Yeah. What you said you might want to mention, board.
Yeah, we definitely, you know, we're a working board. Everyone's got to pitch in. We know that we can do better by the artists, by selling their sculptures. I mean, they're wonderful. There's one couple down in Sioux Falls that have put, some years they put $90,000 worth of bronzes on the street. Those are those whimsical pieces of kids on scooters and football players and baseball players. It's beautiful, beautiful work. We need to sell the work. The artists really need their work sold. So we're looking for a few folks, especially your realtors who know how to sell, to be sign of a subcommittee to help us work with the downtown businesses and say, you can't afford this $5,000 sculpture right now. Could you spread it out over 5 years? Mm. And I think a lot of our business would say, I love that sculpture. I do not want it to go away. Yes. So we need those folks with business savvy to step up and be a separate committee. We've got a few folks who have shown interest. So that needs to improve. And then just more of our businesses. There's always been those faithful for 20 years, but more of the businesses that could underwrite sculptures. We'll put more sculptures, but we just have to have the dollars.
Yeah.
Can individuals buy these sculptures also?
Absolutely. We've had some folks step forward and buy some of the things to put at their lake home. Some of the fish have been really popular.
Right.
Yeah. I love the idea of a piece becoming a permanent piece outside of a business, and then that adds to the sculpture, the robustness of the whole
walk,
because then there are just more around.
That's right. And we're trying to stay focused in the downtown area because that's been our support. We also do a tour. And so if there's anyone who wants to help with a historical combination sculpture tour, we could use those folks.
Okay. Thanks to both of you for everything you do to make our town just a more fantastic place to live.
We hope people will come. It's
Saturday
gonna be fun.
Afternoon, downtown Bemidji,
come
4 o'clock.
Saturday, party time.
Area Voices is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and by the people of Minnesota.